I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Willkommen, mein Freunds. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. Jimmy Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Petey Donaldson.
The cat that got the cream.
Dankeschön, darling, Dankeschön.
We've won nothing, Marcus.
Neither have they.
And they're not going to.
No.
Because never. Germany have been eliminated before England in a World Cup. I never thought I'd live to see the day.
Never.
I'll give that a round of applause.
I'll give that a round of applause.
South
career.
Yes. Never write anyone off.
I like that just before the ramble started, you wiped your mobile phone as if it was covered in saliva because you've been reading testimonials from ex-German footballers going, weeping.
Oh, no, this is miserable. I'm shocked. It is historic. I am sure this will create some public uproar in Germany. You're right, Yogi.
You reckon, Yogi? You won't get away with all the sniffing now. They're not going to turn on you. I know, in the interest of balance, we do have a few German listeners here and there. And obviously it's very difficult for them. And what we'd say to them is Dumme Kleine Schnecken, which is stupid little slugs. So,
wow.
Jim Campbell.
Wow.
With the big talk. No, but it's the
whole... forward to getting hammered by Belgium tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably going to happen.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll see you at the bar soon, Germany.
No, but it's... you bring the beer.
Yeah. But, I mean, when you read out the statistics, this is, you know, we love Germany. We love German people because we've been there a few times. It's a magnificent place. But when...
Wonderful people, too.
Exactly. But when the side, Germany, or a German team, West Germany, in previous World Cups way back in the day, the first time that they've been knocked out in the first round since 1938. And in 1938, there were 15 teams and it was a straight knockout tournament anyway. Yeah. So it's not really...
We can all get excited and like wave our England flags and go, yes, one of the big boys have gone. But what I would say is, in the pit of my stomach, there is a feeling that the natural order has been subverted. And an asteroid is on the way. That's all I'm saying. This is the canary in the mine, guys.
We are
fucked.
We're through the looking glass, and we have been for a number of years, and this is just further proof of it, isn't it? But wouldn't England winning the World Cup just actually play into that? Doesn't that make it more like
that? I was going to say, Germany going out is kind of like, all right, let's... You know, there was rumours of a 2.6 tremor on the earthquake. What do you call it? The Richter scale in Surrey in the southeast of England. Yeah. Hang on, what's happening? If England win the World Cup, get in your bunkers. That's all I'm saying. Bunkers,
the misunderstanding of how earthquakes work is a highlight of every World Cup. Like, they happen all the time, little ones. And
I don't think the people of Surrey would
jump up and down so much you cause an earthquake. You can't do that.
Yeah, the people of Surrey, they do hate. They do love the South Korean football team, you know. but that's the thing. That's why it's such shocking news with Germany. You know, when Italy went out in 2010 in the first round, you know, it's kind of like, oh my goodness, you know. But of course, they went out in 2014 as well. It's the fact that Germany, you know, it was a bit like when Sir Alex Ferguson left Manchester United and everyone was licking their lips going, right, well, now you'll know how it feels like. And I think there's an element of that with Germany.
Absolutely.
They've been so phenomenally successful.
So consistent as well that actually they loom over every World Cup because they think, well, however well this goes, Germany will probably win it or at least get to the final or whoever your team is. If you get Germany, you think, God, this is probably the end of the line. And that's gone now. And that makes the tournament a lot more interesting, to be honest. And also, they went out in sort of quite slapstick fashion, which just doesn't happen to Germany.
Yeah, massively. I mean, it took VAR and Manuel Neuer playing in midfield to get South Korea their goals because they were unwilling to pull the trigger on the WhatsApp group. They were like, just shoot! Just bloody shoot, for crying out loud. Son puts the ball in the net at the end of the match. He thinks, still got to do national service. We're out.
Hey,
we're out. Still got to do national service, though.
France might be bringing back national service.
Oh, well. Enjoy that.
Yeah.
So,
I think he's been imagined.
my flatmate does not like football. So he came home to find me just laughing to myself in the living room. And he's like, well, what's all this about? So I explained the situation.
Yeah,
hippie crack for one thing. I do not indulge in hippie crack.
Because it's rubbish.
Yeah.
Peter. And immoral.
Yeah. He came home and I was laughing to myself and explaining the situation. And he thought it was really funny. And as the South Korean players were piling onto each other in the highlights, I was like, oh, they're out, by the way. Like, this means nothing to them. And he almost had a heart attack laughing.
I think that the South Korean celebrations were brilliant. I assume that those players kind of knew that they were going out. Because if they thought they were going through and then found out, that is quite gutting.
God, well, the Mexico players fell to their... to their knees,
one
didn't
of them
they?
Was
in the
crying.
Sweden game because they weren't sure, they didn't know.
They got away with one,
they didn't. They just,
oh my goodness,
they did. I mean, Hyunwoo, the keeper, who was third choice going into the tournament,
is that right?
But the managers got paranoid about the Swedes being quite tall, so he's like, right, we need our tallest goalkeeper in. Third choice keeper, plays in the K Leagues, like 26, 27, something like that. He's known as De Gea. Because
that's right,
he's got crazy hair,
yeah.
And very androgynous, but the side he plays for as well, the name is
Digu.
Yeah.
And right after the match ended, he said, I honestly thought we had advanced to the round of 16 and it brought tears to my eyes that this was the end.
Oh,
I was like, oh
no. Oh,
no.
Because presumably the manager, you know, he knew and a lot of the other players did. Although, Shin Tae-yong said after the match, I feel great, but at the same time, a little bit empty. And I thought, you sort of would, wouldn't you? I mean...
But again, the problem is the narrative isn't about South Korea. It is about Germany. And you can look to the defeats that Germany had before the World Cup, the Austria and I think Saudi Arabia, they got beaten by, or at least drew with. Hmm. But with that pedigree, I just don't... Like, nobody thought they're not going to top their group. There wasn't even a conversation that they would come second in that group, really.
No, that's right, absolutely. It's a phenomenal thing, isn't it? Is this the last... The holders have gone out in the last four World Cups, I think.
Four out of five.
This one.
Yeah. Yeah. Brazil in 2006 didn't go out in the first round. Yeah. But France did in 2002. Italy did in 2010.
Okay, yeah. Right, four or five.
2014 would have been Spain, of course, and now Germany. That is incredible.
Well, it makes you wonder if it's difficult to drop World Cup winners. So,
but they dropped Mario Götze. Now, I know he had a bit of a stinking season.
He's rotated his squad quite a lot in this World Cup as Love. I don't think that's the problem at all. I think that Mats Hummels header that sort of fell off his shoulder a bit was just bit indicative. It was just like it was like a writ large version of their it was their entire tournament writ large, late, flaccid. Didn't go where it needed to go.
Yeah.
It was just almost a messy, very English tournament.
Yeah, kind of hoping things would work out rather than making them work out, which is what Germany have been so good at in the past. And obviously what they did against Sweden as well. And one of the things that it took me a while to realise is that Toni Kroos goal is meaningless now. For absolutely nothing. That looked like it was going to be one of the standout moments of the World Cup, and I suppose it still will be, but for different reasons. Then you have the sort of karmic justice of those those German coaches sort of like giving it the big licks to the Swedes.
Oh yeah, because I forgot about that.
Yeah.
My favourite thing in all of that was one of the Swedish substitutes, I couldn't remember who it was, has a water bottle, and he's just stood in the middle of the melee, and he just starts squirting. And one of the German backroom staff has just got his shirt covered in water. That's all he's got. He's like, oh, they're not going to just squirt them. Have that. That's all I've got.
Squirt them and then knock them out in the next round.
Wankers! But it is incredible that Germany are out. But, you know, Yogi Love said, in hindsight, maybe...
I wish Manuel Neuer was fit.
I wish I'd made better decisions. No, he said, and Manuel Neuer doing a René Higuita, by the way.
Yeah.
I never thought...
Well, that's what the commentators all said. Like, he's very good in midfield. What, like that, was he? Brilliant, yeah.
For my money, Pete, he gives the ball away too easily.
He's gifted his team a goal there. And that's not what our keepers are supposed to do.
I cannot believe it. I mean, it's such an interesting factor, this World Cup. No Germany in the knockout stages. If you take it from this moment, who knows what's going to happen. But this is such a brilliant World Cup.
It's never happened.
So good.
Germany in the knockout stages, because in 1938 it was straight to knockout. This has never, ever happened before. But Leroy Sané looks very good now, doesn't he?
He's probably.
But it's not that.
I don't know. It might have given them some pace.
I agree with you.
But I mean,
well, I said this about England.
Just complacency that did it for me.
Completely. I said this about England, a podcast or two ago, when Frank Lampard said it's nice that we're talking about the team, not individuals. Leroy Sané, I mean, who knows? I mean, the thing is, if Mats Hummels puts away the header, they're through. Really, they're not going to mess that up. You would have thought.
Yeah.
And so it could look oh so different. However, I think that the problems with this sort of setup is Love said that before the Mexico game, and in hindsight, he said, I think there was an air of arrogance. You know, they obviously didn't prepare very well. They won the Confederations Cup with their second string. People have been blowing smoke up their bottoms for a little while now, as have we, and rightly so. You win the Confederations Cup with your second string. That's incredible. Mm. So you come in to the World Cup as one of the main favourites. You've got a group which isn't too bad. It could be a lot worse. You lose the first game, think, hang on a minute, dig it out the second game. And in the third game, miss a few chances, and it just looks so flat, so disorganised. And I wonder if Yogi Love, one or two people have said that he's the luckiest coach in international football in recent years, in the sense that he inherited a great side. You know,
inherited the second biggest population in Europe as well. He's got a big catchment area.
Right, and so perhaps Love maybe wasn't... I know it seems a bit ridiculous he won the World Cup last time, but if you remember some of the tactical changes he made in 2014 with Philipp Lahm, he tried to play him as a holding midfield, and then he reverted to fullback and blah, 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 and so on and so forth.
Underrated tinkerer.
Yeah, perhaps. I find the whole thing absolutely incredible, and it goes to show, like with Argentina, admittedly they snuck through, doesn't matter how good your players are and so on, obviously that helps. But if you don't have the right attitude, a system, a way of playing, if people know their jobs, Leon Goretzka playing out wide when he normally plays in the middle, all that kind of stuff, it'll come back to bite you on the arse sooner enough, and yeah. And they're not going through. And Sweden topped the group.
Yeah. I mean, presumably love's gone now. He'll be toast. And whoever comes in will win the next World Cup.
Yeah. What a legacy. Well, they will be fine, but one of the iconic moments or one of the iconic scenes from that particular match was just simply by the fact that the German flag has black in it, when the tears run through those cheek flags, oh, it really does run. Oh, it's beautiful. It really is.
But if Yogi Love, if he does go, will he be, I suppose, sniffing around for another job, Peter?
Yeah, he could be scratching around in his pockets for change.
Yeah,
or something else.
Change.
Yeah, if he's got no money, because he, you know, what will he do though? Still, I don't actually know how old Yogi Love is, but he looks like a younger manager than you'd expect.
Quite possibly. Yes, Jim.
I was going to say the one thing that I am a little sad about is that Brazil don't get a crack at them.
I know what you mean. Brazil
would smash that Germany.
Yeah, I thought to myself, if they do go through in second place, we've got that to look forward to, you know, just to see what Brazil will be like. But then Brazil would probably bottle it and, oh my God, who knows? The emotions might have run away with them. But Sweden got a wonderful win against Mexico.
Mm.
A great win to pick themselves up after that disappointment against Germany, where if they'd have got that point, they'd have probably thought, right, we can now play our game against Mexico, you know, be pretty solid, stern at the back, all those cliches about a side like Sweden. Mexico have been the standout team in the group until that game. And so pick themselves up with a bitter disappointment and so on and so forth. And yet they've topped the group. The desire, the attitude, everything about that Sweden side is it was the opposite to what Germany had. Do you know what I mean? They showed a bit of urgency. They were on the front foot, which is not really their style. And they've surprised myself, and I'm sure a lot of others, because this is not a vintage Sweden side. They are sort of a bit limited. And yet to win 3-0 against the side who have beaten Germany, who are one of the kind of sides that people have been talking about a lot in the tournament.
Very energetic team as well.
It's been absolutely magnificent. And old Marcus Berg up front, he hasn't scored. And I think he's destined not to score at this tournament. You know, there's a couple of saves and whatnot. But he's been very important. He won the penalty. But he's led the line well for them. And he's been quite an important target man, I suppose. So I do hope he manages to score against Switzerland in the next round, because he really deserves a goal.
Is this just a Marcus
So Marcus Loving, bruv. So Marcus Loving. I hope Rashford scores.
I think are
Marcos
all...
Rocco, and I'm having that, by the way.
Are they all
he's
in there?
Scored. Are they all?
Are they all in there? I think they're all qualified, aren't they? The Marcus.
Oh, the Marcus.
I mean, there's probably a Marcus I haven't thought of that hasn't qualified. So you know, again, I'll see you at the bar, big boy.
Does that guy get to stay in Marcus Berg's flat now?
Yes! No, but Berg, yeah, that lad, Jesper, I think his name was.
Yeah.
He said that apparently that it was only to the end of the group stages. Well, I tell you what, you've got the keys for another few days.
Yeah.
That could be a big party.
If you fancy Mexico to get through to, that test against Brazil and quarterfinals from the other side of the group, Mexico reaching the semi-finals is 9-1 with Bet365. £10 returning, £100 including stakes. So,
an interesting one. They'll have to rely on their memories of beating Germany rather than the Sweden. Remember, but we did beat the Germans. Yeah, so did South Korea. All right, how are we going to get past this lot? I enjoyed that Granqvist stuck away the penalty.
Yes.
He does. I mean, I think he's only 34. We've made this point before. But he does look... Yeah, but he looks old, Jim, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Christian Rodriguez, I think it is, of Uruguay. He looks about 41.
Yeah, he is a fascinating specimen, isn't he? He looks like he's 41 and he's come to beat you up. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's going to turn around, look you in the eye from the screen, walk out of it, and just kick the hell out of you.
Well, his calves are magnificent.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, that's Uruguay. We're not talking about Uruguay. We're talking about Mexico. And they scored an own goal, Alvarez.
Yeah. What? Silly. What?
That was one of those ones where they've just decided we're not going through and stuff like this is going to happen to us now.
Yeah, I don't know if they've decided it. You get into that sort of maelstrom, don't you?
But Mexico, it's such an odd result. They must have just switched off. They must have thought, we're already through pretty much.
Well, that's it. Is it, they still played along, but then at the same time, it's in the back of your mind that it's Germany, and while it's 0-0 for most of the game, it's probably a little bit of panic sets in. If you're 2-0 down, you've got butterflies in your stomach there, surely.
Yeah, but the fact is, but it's not just the third goal, obviously. Been a bit silly there, but to lose 3-0 to a side who don't score that or haven't scored that many goals of late, and Mexico have looked so good, Mexico, I think, have already just subconsciously switched off, because if it wasn't for that crew skull, then Mexico would have been through as, would they have been group winners, I think? Or maybe, or they would have just, well, they just needed a point anyway against Sweden. They played a strong starting 11. It just seems very odd to me that that is quite an anomaly, that result,
yeah,
really.
It really is.
And they've now got to pick themselves up and play Brazil rather than Switzerland in the next round. Now, Switzerland are a good side, and we're going to talk about them in a minute. You'd rather play Switzerland than Brazil. And it's, this is not a Gareth Southgate, Roberto Martinez situation where, oh, shall we throw the game to finish? None of that nonsense. If Mexico had topped the group, they would have played Switzerland. They'll be bitterly disappointed, and they're going to have to raise it against those beautiful boys from Brazil.
I'm just glad that they don't have to decide who plays in yellow for that match.
Yeah, I think we're all relieved.
The main thing.
Massively relieved about that. All right, well, let's talk about Brazil after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Levetsi, Messi, give it to him and pray. Oh, and he's done it! It had to be Messi!
Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. Good win for Brazil.
It was a good win.
Bad result for Mitrovic.
Mm. Yes.
Very much Newcastle Mitrovic rather than...
yeah. Fulham.
The Fulham one.
Yeah. I mean,
what
Brazil.
An odd sentiment.
That's right. Brazil showed a bit more of what they can do.
They did.
They look like they're clicking into gear at the right time.
Yeah. They don't look like they're clicking the gear. They basically presented, they opened a cupboard and went, look at all of the other gears we have. But they didn't actually click into them. They didn't put them onto the bike. But there was a period in the second half where Serbia were just camped out in their box. And I just thought, they look quite nervy at the back. They can be got at.
There was certainly England. A sort of 5 minute period or so where they were really
under the
really
cosh,
a little
they,
panicky in the
but,
box.
But Serbia just didn't finish off their chances. As I said, they were trying to get the ball onto Mitrovic's head all the time, which didn't seem that effective in that particular football match. He's 23. He's not the greatest striker in the world, but he is the new Alan Shearer.
But it must be said, Pete, after that sort of slightly rocky patch that Brazil had in the second half, their reaction to that was basically to say, shut your mouth, shut your damn mouth.
Yeah.
And then they just absolutely dominated Serbia. Yeah. They showed what they were about. And I think the Neymar of the last half an hour is the Neymar that we need to see more of in the World Cup. He looks very desperate to score, but he was really, really taking it to
I think he looks injured. I think he looks slow. And I think he looks kind of, but that's kind of how Brazil play. They play at a bit of a trot. Mm. And when you've got the ball at the feet, they're not necessarily running at players. They're just kind of like sort of walking slowly towards the play because you know they're going to do something amazing.
Yeah, but well, the commentators actually said that Neymar looked injured. They were talking about that, and then from that point, he seemed to speed up and go into another gear. So I think he has it there. Maybe he's—I don't know—maybe he's holding himself back for certain periods of the game. But obviously, it's not all about Neymar. I thought Brazil again were very good at doing what they needed to do. I think they're a real threat for the whole thing now, especially with Germany out of the picture. They've got to be the heavy favourite.
I thought, yeah, they have to be. Well, next to Spain, you'd probably say Spain have also got a cupboard full of gears.
Yeah.
They look... I didn't think there was very much in the middle of the park for Brazil. Again, reasons why I think Brazil can be got at. And we'll come on to talk about England and, you know, where we'd like to finish in the group, etc. And it's not really in our hands, obviously. But I do sort of think Brazil... I don't think they're as defensively capable as we think they could be.
Do you know what? I think Neymar is really... I think he could...
Flash.
Well, I do. And by the way, talking about injuries, Neymar's sister dislocated her shoulder celebrating her brother's goal against Costa Rica. Yeah, Injury, dislocating the shoulder.
I look at Neymar and his sister the same way I look at Jedward. And I go, what's going on there then?
Yeah. You think, what's going on there?
He's
been injured, hasn't he, for her birthday for the past 4 years or so.
Just like
gets a little injury and then he pops up on Instagram with his sister.
Uh-huh. Well,
they've got matching tattoos, haven't they? They've got tattoos of each other's faces.
Really?
Yep.
Bit strange. Neymar, I actually think if you took him out the Brazil side and you put Coutinho out there, I think Coutinho's, he has been brilliant. We talked about this on the continent. Mm. I think they look a bit unsettled. Or a bit disjointed with Neymar in there at times. He really annoyed me when he was trying to score at the end of the game because he's trying to do it all himself. He wants the headlines. He wants to be seen as the Messi and Ronaldo and all that kind of stuff. It's why he went to PSG, and that's fine. It's his career. I understand that at some levels. I understand why people are a bit disappointed in him on other levels. But you're saying, Peter, right enough that in midfield sometimes they can not overrun. That's not true. But you've got Casemiro in there doing a lot of job. Paulinho is sort of box to box. He wants to get forward. Took his goal very well. And Coutinho is very much an attacking player. Mm. They had Renato Augusto in the midfield for large parts of qualifying, I think, and he provides a bit more steel and a bit of help to Casemiro. And I think if you had say those two. With maybe, I suppose you could have Coutinho in front of them, maybe, but with Neymar, he's got to show a bit of humility, I think, because
he's not going to
But that's the point, though, because if he's still trying to do it all himself and all that kind of stuff.
I think the shot you were talking about, I think he earned his right pretty much on the seesaw.
You know, it's my pet hatred when somebody either should pass it or doesn't get the shot away.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I think he earned the right. I think he played well enough. I think he brought enough players into the fray. With his passing to take that shot. What I would point out is the last 5 minutes, the last 10 minutes of the match was both teams trying to do as many back heels and flicks as possible. Yeah, it was wonderful.
That's fine when you're Brazil and you're 2-0 up. But when you're Serbia and you're 2-0 down, yeah. that's a strange one. I think on the Neymar thing, I think I'm like a little boy when it comes to the World Cup and I want the big players to deliver. So yeah. I'm looking at Neymar as I was looking at Roberto Baggio in the group stages of USA 94. I remember you and I share a passion for Baggio from that era, Pete. And I just really want him to succeed. So I think maybe I'm just projecting it onto him.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Maybe not in the quarters. when we face them.
But hang on, don't start this. What? England have got to get past the last 16 first.
No.
Don't you start. Anyway,
don't start this. You and your big planes.
Switzerland. Yeah, that was before the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. You can't,
big plane,
you can't
Marcus.
Back out on us now.
Like, right, your big plane, Marcus.
I was saying we need reinforcements and we haven't got them and now I'm worried. Crying out loud. Switzerland, they drew 2-2 with Costa Rica. And Costa Rica scoring means that all 32 teams have been on the score sheet at this tournament. That's lovely. It's heartwarming.
It's always interesting to see how a team plays differently without the pressure. Because Costa Rica just look like they're having a lovely time.
But I see it. They show so much.
It's so annoying, isn't it?
I know. And Joel Campbell, Jimmy?
Yeah, Jay Campbell getting involved at a World Cup again.
You enjoying that?
I enjoy the fact that Xhaka and Shaqiri could have been suspended for what they did with their arms. Because they didn't do anything.
Hands.
Well, they're attached to their arms.
Yeah, but okay. Lichtsteiner was fined as well. Luke particularly found this really funny. Lichtsteiner has no connection to Costa Rica.
He's got involved. Yeah, but he just loves to mug off people.
He does.
Yeah. Well, I can mug off a whole nation, you say. Yeah. All right.
Yes, please.
I enjoyed Brian Rees's penalty right off Summer's napper.
There's a sad stat about that, though, isn't there, Marcus, that you were telling me earlier?
He could have equaled I think it's Paolo Onchop and another Costa Rica who have scored the most goals for Costa Rica at World Cups, and he could have equaled that. But of course, it goes down as an own goal. So a little bit of a shame for him.
No one likes to see this.
I've actually got an email from Austin from Squamish in Canada, which I
from
quite
where?
Like. Squamish.
Love it.
Hey guys, though far from the game that drew the most attention today, obviously, I would like to draw attention to the Costa Rican goal scorer, Kendall Watson. Kendall Waston. Yes, Waston. The spelling is correct. Kendall is the captain of my local team in the MLS, the Vancouver Whitecaps, Peter Beasley's old club, of course. He is the heart and soul of our club, a man who plays with his emotions right at the surface. Sometimes it's gotten him his marching orders, but the days we get to see him like today, passion, pride, heart, determination, all in a big, physically imposing package. Off the field, he's brilliant with the fans and interacting with them. He grew up in Le Mans, a small town known for problems with violence and drugs. His love for football helped him stay away from that and complete his dream of becoming a professional player. He joined Vancouver in 2014 and he's captained us the last three seasons. Now, I'm not great at words and this story deserves better than the likes of me to explain. I've attached YouTube documentaries about this man. For anyone who wants to see more of what the towering teacup is like, just give it a Google and search out his story, because it is a fascinating one. And I think here on the Football Ramble, we are a little bit jovial, a little bit silly when it comes to big tournaments. And I think sometimes it's nice to sort of hear from people, like a love letter from someone who really loves a particular player in an, you know, footballing underwhelming nation, let's say. Forgetting, of course, that Costa Rica did, you know, get out of the groups last time, quarterfinal last time.
So. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. No, that's lovely. That's it. And he actually, I think he scored the goal, was it, to take them to the tournament. He scored a crucial one.
And he went mad.
And, he should. And he's every right to go mad. Yeah. But it was a lovely header, certainly. One thing you've noticed with Costa Rica there and maybe one or two others, that teams seem to care. I don't know whether it's just me, but do teams seem to care more in World Cup games in which they've got nothing to play for these
days?
That
has been a real
which is great.
Kind of feature of these last games, isn't it? You look at Peru, for example, and obviously South Korea's performance.
Morocco, perhaps.
Morocco's a perfect example. You worry that this last one's going to be quite a damp squib, but even Saudi Arabia and Egypt was a good game, and they had a lot of incident in it. And it's been really, really consistently good, which is great. You always look at it with a bit of sadness and think, as you say, like, if that pressure had been off, what could they have done? What could they have gone on to achieve? But, you know, the reason the World Cup is so brilliant is because there's a lot of good teams in there, and you want the teams that go out to go down fighting and be good as well, and that's what we're getting completely.
I'm just sad that the group stages are almost over.
I know.
Yeah, but the thing is about that, right? There is less football, but this is the best bit coming up.
Yeah.
It's been so good, and we've still got the best bit to come.
Do you want a couple more emails before we move on?
I'd bloody love to.
All right. Michael says, hello again, Ramblers. Isn't it enjoyable to see those Germans out of the World Cup? I didn't even read that out. Anyway, on a previous World Cup ramble, Jim mentioned how the rankings didn't mean nothing. And I believe he also mentioned that FIFA plan on switching to the ELO ranking system. It's a living thing. I decided to do a little test to see how the ELO system compared to the current system, and was surprised to find that it was 92% accurate in guessing the exact top spot and runners-up in each group so far in comparison to the 42% accuracy of the current system. I think the sooner the new system comes into place, the better. It doesn't hurt that England are currently ranked fourth in that one.
I said that they don't mean nothing.
No.
As in, like,
what you were saying was that we shouldn't pay too much attention to them.
No, what I was saying was that people often sort of decry the rankings, but they don't count for nothing.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Perhaps that was my own poor phrasing that led to that.
Chris Shaw says, if and when Gareth Southgate wins the World Cup with England, there will be some remarkable similarities with the first Mighty Ducks film. Old pro, still haunted by missing a penalty kick in a big championship, reluctantly takes control of a team in disarray and low on confidence. He eventually wins their respect and loyalty and takes them to the championship, gaining redemption and exorcising the ghosts of the past. I can't wait to Disney to get hold of this and see the scene where the whole team is tied together and Jordan Pickford does a Trump.
Oh dear.
Lovely old job.
Well, there we are.
Oh dear. Saying oh dear to a pump.
Oh, you said a Trump?
Yeah.
When you said he's going to do a Trump, I thought, oh no. I mean, something else these days. Yeah, no, I know, I understand. Should we talk about today's fixtures, gentlemen?
Let's. No? I would like to say that a lot of people on the emails are finding my streaming over IP latency quite... it resonates with people, despite what Luke said, the Luddite.
Yeah.
Problematic.
I was more Team Luke in that situation, I have to say.
Well, you don't even own a computer.
No, that's true. that's not true. Today's fixtures, Group H, Japan, play Poland, you'd fancy Japan to get the result they need. A point would do, Jim.
A point would do, wouldn't it? I wonder about this, though, because Poland, again, like...
Playing for pride.
Teams have been, haven't they? We've been looking at
Are they going to action
fixtures?
That pride thing that, that teams seem to do quite well at?
Yeah. And I just worry about Japan having maybe a little bit of an inferiority complex. You could see, you know, they did well to beat Colombia, but they still had to really fight for that.
They didn't have that complex against Senegal. They just, I think, they went, still got pegged. Well, yeah, but they brought it back and drew 2-2. No, they were the ones who equalised.
I think this is a much harder game than Marcus gives them credit for. I think it's going to be really, really difficult for Japan. But top of the group, should be all right.
We shall see. Senegal versus Colombia. Colombia need a win. Colombia need a win. Now, the way they played against Poland, you'd say that they are likely to get that win. Definitely. They look brilliant and they have clicked. If that last game is going to go anything to go on. Of course, they had the man sent off against Japan. They looked a little bit down and not out, obviously, but that affected them hugely. Mm. Oh, and by the way, check out Quintero, who scored the free kick in that game. You know, Rupert Fryer wrote a piece about him, you know, so with regards to Mr. Kendall, you were talking about, Mr. Waston.
Waston.
Earlier. He's another one who has got quite an interesting story as well. But I think... I quite fancy Colombia to top the group, actually. I think they'll win and maybe Japan will draw with Poland. I think that could happen.
Mm. Well, if you fancy neither of those teams to really do really well, and Senegal to qualify from that group, they are currently 8-11 with Betsy 365 to qualify from their group. £10 returning, £17, 27, including stake. You fancy them to mug off Japan or Colombia?
Well, it's funny because you say that, actually, because Senegal, they look pretty good on the breaks. Say the manager's quite a canny operator. They've got players that can hurt any team.
Yeah.
And Colombia will be pushing forward. So I think that'll be quite a fascinating encounter. More fascinating encounter than in the evening games with Panama versus Tunisia, perhaps.
Yeah.
But both playing for pride, Jim.
Yeah.
You know what? Goals galore.
I had forgotten that was even happening.
Oh, no.
How soon we forget?
Will be an interesting one, though. Because we get a measure of what they're like against each other, because everyone's been saying, oh, it's only Tunisia, / it's only Panama. Mm. And we thought Tunisia were perhaps better than we'd seen in the England game. And then Belgium slapped us down to earth. So,
Do you fancy another goal for Baloy?
Oh, obviously. Absolutely.
Have we explained why Baloy is kind of famous in Ramble circles?
We haven't.
I don't think we should.
Well, I think we should, because we play on FIFA every now and again.
It sounds crap
point,
if we do that.
Why?
Oh, come on, we play on FIFA.
We play on FIFA. England Baloy
are
playing, scores.
England
people
are playing
people
Belgium.
People can see us playing on people FIFA. It's all over Instagram.
Yeah, what's wrong with you, Marcus?
That's true, and he doesn't score. He gets sent off. England are playing Belgium. Silence.
Got nothing.
Stunned silence.
I want to talk more about Baloy, and I'm halting the podcast.
Cut you off, then.
Should England throw this match? It is quite interesting that people are trying to plot this way or that way. The thing is, the way the World Cup's gone, Mexico could beat Brazil. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But the thing is, I totally agree with Gareth Southgate in this. That Southgate said, we haven't won a knockout game since 2006.
Yeah, let's
calm
get in the habit,
down,
shall we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's get in the habit.
Yeah.
Let's play whoever the hell we give. Get given.
Look, if England finish second in the group and they happen to play Japan or Senegal rather than, say, Colombia, and then they would go on to play Switzerland or Sweden, would it be? I think that's... It's not Brazil, put it that way. Then yes, you think to yourself, okay, if England can do that, because there's still matches there to be won.
Yeah.
That does look like... Because, you know, I'm not stupid. I'm not one of these people who think, oh, well, you know, come on, bring on Brazil. Brazil are a better team than England, without question. So I do get the logic. However, I also get the logic of what Frank Lampard and a few of the other players are saying, is momentum is important. And if... Imagine if we cut live to the England camp and Gareth Southgate's got them all gathered around going, oh, well, we want to avoid them and we don't want to... It would be awful. It would be awful, wouldn't it? And you know, you can't start saying, oh, we want to avoid them, because if England do have ambitions and could... Say if they did go through the last 16 and then they played Switzerland, say, in the quarterfinal and won there, you're going to play a big team. What does he then do? Go, now we've got to play them.
Well,
so now we've got to try and think that we can beat them. Do you know what I mean?
If you do get that team, you also motivate them. And rail them up.
Yes.
So you've just got to play what's in front of you. It's an absolute mug's game to try and...
Massively. And it's completely out of our hands, let's not forget. Belgium have to score a goal, you know, that's at the bare minimum. Lukaku's out, Hazard, Mertens probably be rested as well. They've both got knocks.
Actually, Martinez does look like he's quite happy to be finished second.
Although, weirdly, you would think Martinez would want to win against England. One weird thing about this World Cup as well is because of VAR, there are just more penalties. It is far more likely that there are going to be penalties in a game, which, you know, if you know, that might work in anyone's favour. Mm. Absolutely anybody might have a goal that they otherwise wouldn't have, and that does make things a bit more interesting.
I just found it interesting when Martina said, "Oh, it's not really a match, it's a celebration." I thought, what the hell are you going on about? Like, he said he wants his players to avoid injuries, yellow cards. I mean, that goes without saying.
Is this a smokescreen? They're going to smack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. England turn up and go, right, these aren't going to try that. Oh, they're 3-0 up with 20 minutes gone.
They've got T-shirts printed up saying the Brexit derby. Oh, no.
But you really want this.
Have to try.
This is for all of Brussels. I don't know, but it's going to be interesting. I want England to win.
Yeah, I think Rashford will probably get a run out because he's barely been seen. And
yeah, that's Dyer. It looks like he's going to start.
The thing is, do you risk an injury to Harry Kane for the sake of his golden boot?
I don't think it's golden boot. I don't think Southgate's going, all right, Harry, you know, fill your boots.
He'll get an hour.
Yeah, I just think Harry Kane is the man that's going to lead the England line no matter who we play and so on.
Yeah, he's the captain for all, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. I think also as well, it just shows it puts a marker down that we're serious. You know, if you rest Kane, it looks like, oh, well, we'll try and maybe nick a win or something.
It'd be arrogant, I think.
Yeah, but I think Vardy will feature. And I'd like to see him feature because, you know, he deserved it.
Actually,
he's a quality player as well.
All of this said, are we perhaps overthinking it? When you look at Croatia making 9 changes and, you know, is it so terrible to rest players?
Yeah, but Croatia were not playing the toughest game.
True.
Yeah. Despite what their manager said when he said Argentina was the easiest game of the group. But they were through, and I think they were always going to finish top, weren't they, or something like that. You know, they were looking pretty comfortable.
Well, if you fancy England and Belgium to play out a bit of a bore draw, because that's what makes football worth watching after all, the draw is 2-1 with Bet365. £10, a returning £30, including your stake. I reckon that's going to happen.
Actually, one thing that struck me after the Germany game is I'm even more annoyed at Denmark and France for playing at the first 0-0. Because I was thinking, even if Germany, South Korea finished 0-0, that would be perfect. That would have been a great way to get a 0-0. But no.
Very true, Jim. Very true. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to this World Cup Ramble sponsored by Bet365. We're all off to watch England play, of course. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Good night.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Oh, good night.
And it's good night from me and London.
London, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.